Welcome to Homicide the Podcast.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Kevin. And Homicide the Podcast is your favorite gay true crime podcast that's hosted by us two thirsty-ass gay boys who love a delicious man or woman in uniform. Which we'll tie that in today.
Right.
Anyway.
I think there's a purpose for that one.
Welcome. I'm really excited. Well, first off, what's your story about today, real quick?
My story, I have a couple titles for it, but one of them is Florida's Most Notorious Criminals.
Ooh. Mm. And my story can be described as a maritime human chow down.
Oh.
Yeah, gross. So with that, we have two people on, and you have not heard from our producer, Anna, in a while, mostly because of our fault. But Anna is here with us again. So hello, Anna.
Hello.
Hello.
So nice to be here.
So excited to have you back on. And then today we have a very special guest. Her name is Hillary. Hello.
Hi.
Talk close to your mic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hillary, I'm so excited to have you on today. And our episode is titled Open Water Is Scary Enough, because we're talking about murders on water.
Oh, right up my alley.
I know.
Yeah.
So, Hillary, I don't know. Tell us and our listeners, who are you? How do we know you?
All right. So, Kevin and I go way back to 2004.
2003.
Is it 2000? No.
Yeah, 2003. No. Yes,
no, because I graduated. You were a senior.
Yes, in 2003 was the start of it, and then January was 2004, and then I graduated in May of 2004. So we met in July, August of 2003.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, we go way back.
The details are important on this podcast.
That just shows our age. We can't remember.
It does.
Yeah. So we go way back to high school days, and we have been best friends.
Yeah.
Since.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Hillary was probably the first gay person I came out to.
Yeah, we kind of came out together.
which is interesting. And then I told friend Chelsea Turner, who lives in San Diego. But we met and then we're instantly friends. And we bonded over Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
In the Zone album and Toxic. And I had a little Hyundai accent that we would drive around in, but then Hillary had a LeBaron.
Yeah, convertible.
Convertible, which as a gay people in the early 2000s was really fun to cruise around in. Do you remember what we used to blast out in there?
Yeah, Evanescence.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. How could I forget?
Evanescence. Oh, but it was a specific song and a specific version.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
Was it Broken?
Oh, that was another one.
No, that was so
good. That was with Seether.
Seether.
Shit, I don't remember what the song's called.
Broken.
No, it was also the other one, though. Was like the dun-dun-dun-dun or whatever. Was it Broken?
Yeah.
Well, fuck. All right. There we go.
But it was the version with Seether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so,
man. The amount of hours we listened to that.
We killed that shit. The cool thing was I actually met Hillary in high school because my senior year in high school, I went to college part-time where we had, our focus was in forestry.
So butch.
Which, we love trees.
We did love trees. I tell people that, though, and they're like, what? Who did I tell recently? And I'm like, oh, I'm certified in chainsaw. And they were like...
Yeah, we drove tractors and cut down trees and...
Studied water.
Water.
Took core samples from trees.
I'd say
anybody we tell that you've done that is like...
They don't believe me.
You did?
They literally don't believe
me. Well, and both of our paths went completely not into the forestry realm.
100%.
I know Maybe. Mrs. Dana Howard would be probably disappointed.
Heather. Hi, Heather.
Yeah. If she ever sees this,
probably not. But
you know, you had an impact, and we think about it often. We just didn't go down that road.
We did. And one thing we talk about often is the fact that you said panties to get our attention in class.
Yeah, so we say it all the time.
And now we say panties. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, Hillary, I love dearly. And it's interesting because we're both from Colorado, but we both ended up living in Florida. I have a weird story, but yours is pretty. Also, maybe not weird, but complex, but also interesting. So why don't you tell us what happened to you? Where did you go?
What happened to you?
Are you talking about how I got to Florida?
Yeah.
So the Coast Guard, clearly there's not a lot going on for me in Colorado. So I have to go where the water goes.
Yeah, but you've been like a lot of places, right? Like where have you kind of served or stationed?
I went to Hawaii and then I was in San Diego and then I went to Florida and then I was down in the Keys, which is where we kind of reconnected.
Yep. Yeah, because that's when I came back. Because I went to Orlando for the Disney College program, but you were in, I think you were in Hawaii then.
Yeah.
That sounds like 2009. Well, no, that was when you joined, I think.
Yeah, I was in Hawaii from 2010 to 2012.
Okay, and I came here 2009
yeah.
to the Disney College Program. Yeah, so, Disney. But then I left. I know, Disney gets you. And then I came back, but, and then you met Brandon.
Yeah, I did, and I loved
And then it was meant to be.
Yeah. I know, interestingly enough, my ex and I actually met at the same, well, I met you first, and then I met him later.
Yeah, he came in late.
Yeah.
Weird.
And that's the story of life for him, I think. So with that, Hillary, we're excited to have you here. And it's fun that you're in the Coast Guard, and we're talking about open water.
Yeah, we did murders. It like a themed episode just for you.
I'm honored.
Right.
I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here, finally.
And it would be interesting to see how you like relate with your experience.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen a lot of open water, and I can tell you being stuck out there, not any place I'd want to be.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear what you have in store for
us.
I know,
my story is a little bit about that. But before we dive in, Anna, how are you? What's new in your life? What's happening? How's New York? How was the earthquake?
Yeah, right.
The earthquake was freaky. Before I talk about that, though, I just want to say this topic is so appropriate for this time, because have you been thinking about the eclipse season at all? I've seen multiple videos about how eclipses and like the time in between eclipses has something to do with like catastrophic events in water. So
I didn't know that happened during eclipse season.
Oh. Did it really?
Yeah. And then there's been like multiple like bridge collapses during this time and multiple earthquakes.
Cool. And then with like the just recent bridge collapse.
Oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So well, this is a very appropriate episode, I feel like. But the earthquake was freaky. It really wasn't that dramatic. I kind of felt, I gaslit myself into thinking that it was just me being crazy and having vertigo or something until I saw that it was an actual earthquake. But I heard that people that were on the ground didn't feel it at all. It was just the people that were like in buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had our friends that live in Jersey, Clinton, New Jersey. I can't remember what town they live in. It's like an hour outside of the city. Their house shook, but they were 20 miles from the epicenter. So
yeah.
It did shake here. I did feel like my building was about to go down. And I also live in such an old building that some of the paint is kind of cracking on my wall. And I looked up and saw the paint cracking. And I was like, my building is cracking in half right now. Like,
that's
that
actually
was
really
where my
scary.
That is terrifying. Because especially
like
the pre-war.
Are you on like a high floor?
I'm on the sixth floor, so I'm not that high, but high enough to where if anything happened, I'd be dead.
Nah, but yes. Like low enough where you could like get out quickly.
Yeah,
you know what
survive.
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if there's not too much above you. I always feel like if a building's collapsing, is it better to be on the bottom or is it better to be on the top?
And this is actually something we talk about as we walk around the city.
I feel like the lower part of the building is like your better bet.
Well, right,
you could get out quicker. Foundation, right? Like you're close to the foundation.
Yeah, true.
The higher up, you're a little bit more.
Yeah, but I always feel like if the building is falling down, like if you're on a higher floor, you're like, you know, like as it goes down.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I think it would all just happen. My first thought before
any earthquake thought is that building that fell in Miami, like two years ago,
that was
just out of nowhere.
Yeah,
that's what I was picturing was about to happen to my building.
It was like a pancake, wasn't it? Didn't it just
squashed all the way down? Yeah, no. that was a scary thing, man.
Nope.
Shit.
Yeah.
But there's that building that the side of the like facade fell out in like Brooklyn or the Bronx or something, right? Like
last year, that one was.
And that's happened a couple times.
It has. Yeah, these buildings are old.
Yeah.
And you live in an older building, like brick building, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
it's freaky.
Honestly, that's probably better than a newer one. I feel like architecturally,
right?
Yeah,
you might be safer.
Yeah.
Right. Newer construction is just so cheap and built so quickly that I wouldn't. In 20 years, I would not want to live in one of those buildings.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, that's what we'll be
Valid
moving
point.
To. Actually. So. Great. Anyway, Brent, how have you been?
Oh, I've just been fantastic.
That's great.
I never have anything to say with that. I don't even know. It's like whenever you ask me that question, it's like my brain just goes away. I'm like, I don't even know what happened this week.
I don't either. We're very busy.
We are.
Clearly. We skipped another episode. So, Hillary, I don't know. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. Right.
Yeah. Life is transitioning, but
you
we're
are
doing
in a major transition, yes. But good things are on the horizon.
We're good.
So,
everybody's good.
I love you and I'm so glad that you're on. Yay.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. All right. Well, who goes first today?
I think you do. I think I went first last time.
Oh my God. I'm first in open water is scary enough, which let's talk about that for just a second. Has anyone ever been lost in open water? Any of us?
Like in the room?
Yeah. Like in the room?
No.
No. No. Anna.
Now, it makes me think of that TikTok song, the Yo.
Oh yes. The North Sea videos.
It fills me with such dread to think about.
I know, right?
Totally does.
Like that audio makes my anxiety like skyrocket.
Immediately.
No, I can't handle it.
Yeah, and then I watch every video. Anyways.
Yeah, me too. I'll always go to the, like, it'll make me so unbelievably uncomfortable, and then I immediately go to the sound and watch every single thing because I'm, like, indulging in it for some reason.
It draws you in. That's why that app is so great in general. That's interesting. Yeah, no, water freaks me out. Every time we go on a cruise or something and we're, like, in the middle of wherever we are on a sea day and there's, like, nothing.
It kind of terrifies me.
Yeah, and the water's really dark. Like, it's really dark, and it freaks me the fuck out. Yeah. But I like cruises, so. Well, do I?
The ocean's a scary place.
Well, tell us about that, Hillary, because you're in the Coast Guard, so.
So I've seen many different bodies of water, like many oceans.
I
and
heard bodies.
I was thinking bodies in water,
bodies
too.
Bodies in water. Like,
yeah, so many bodies in the water.
Yeah, the sea. I have seen bodies in the water, but the sea is very unforgiving. Mm. So, like. The weather, that is, you know, that's the scariest part. Like, you are literally just on a metal boat that somehow floats.
Right.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And the weather and the sea state can just be insane. And it's, you just hope that you don't die out there.
Oh,
you
know? My God.
Yeah, that's not a job for me.
Did you guys see the movie Poseidon? Where the big old cruise ship, like, capsizes or whatever from a rogue wave?
That's like a remake of the...
Original,
which, that movie might have sparked some anxiety for sure.
100%. Like, could that happen? Like, rogue waves are a thing, right?
Yeah, they are a thing. Yeah, 100% they are a thing.
Like, how big can they be?
Big.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, we had one. We were coming back from, where were we? We were off the coast of, like, California somewhere. I want to say, like, San Fran. In the middle of the night, just the whole ship was, like, I was getting ready for a watch, and the boat was just, like, boom, and it like shifted like part of our helo hangar.
The fuck is a helo hangar?
Where we put the helicopter.
Oh,
so the for size purposes, the they call them a cutter. Our cutter was like 378 feet long, and it like cracked like the metal.
Oh my gosh,
it was scary. Like everything just went flying, and you're supposed to be like secured for sea regardless because you know things happen. But
yeah,
we were all like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere.
No, thank you.
One and done, you know.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Yep.
It happens.
I love sitting at a desk all day.
Oh, I don't.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You guys still need to come for a boat ride.
I do want to come for a boat ride.
That'd be fun.
How far would we go out?
Not far. Okay. I'll just keep it close. Just
like, can I see land?
Yeah.
Can I see land?
If I can see land, then I'm more comfortable, even though
you've been on boats where you have not been able to see land and you are still around.
My favorite time on a cruise, though, is when you're like right off the shore and like cruising by. Like, it was when we were in Greece and we or maybe it was Greece or Italy, I don't remember. But we were like cruising in the Mediterranean and like that was cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It was very calm, which I liked as well. But
it's because it's not like. Full ocean.
No, I was on a cruise though in 2010. Yeah, right before I moved to New York City, where we got caught in a storm and it was a fucking horrible. Like, I was wrapped in towels on the deck because it's the only place I couldn't get sick. And I was covered in salt because I was like laying there for like 5 hours and just salt. And the ship, I could see it going like this. Ugh. Or whatever, up and down. And I was like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
All the elevators were closed. There was vomit everywhere.
Gross.
Yeah. If you don't ever go to the Bering Sea, but up
that's
in
the strait between. Oh, wait. What?
Yeah. Go up to Alaska.
Oh.
It's,
to Alaska instead of the.
Go anywhere up there, but like the YouTube videos of the Bering Sea, it's like.
Which that's the strait between like Antarctica and South Africa, right? Or some shit? No? What is that called? That was inaccurate.
You're talking about...
it's like a stretch of like really rough seas that every cruise ship has a rough time getting through. But it's like somewhere... But I thought it was like South Africa and... No,
it is. I know exactly what you're talking about, right? But I don't... I'm trying to look it up.
I don't know. But yeah.
The Drake Passage. That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Google. Is that New York or is that Tampa? The alarm. Is that you, Anna?
It's me.
Someone's dead. Someone is dead.
All emergency. Right. Well, shit. But yeah, look up. There's a video of our ship. Like, I was up on watch for it. Somebody took it. Really? And we were in like 30-foot seas. And we like just dropped. And it.
No. Nope.
Puckered. No. Puckered for sure. Puckered? I was like, we're gonna break your butthole. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Your butthole.
Your butthole. Everybody, you just like watch it, and you're like, no, my
God. That's those. These are also on TikTok. Those videos of like people in big ships, like cargo ships, mm-hmm. that are like hanging onto something, and all of a sudden their body is like,
yeah,
yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, we've had like people like from like the floor to the ceiling, like be able to jump because it's just an anti-gravity chamber up forward.
I would be puking the entire time.
It's scary. Yeah. You get used to it, though.
Do you, though?
You do.
Do you, though?
You do.
I don't know.
You do.
I, like, the first day of any cruise ship, I'm always sick.
Yeah, really? But you wouldn't. Every time. But, yeah. Kevin, you wouldn't be the first one to be like, yes, I want to put myself in that position. No, you would be like, no, I'm not going
to
do it.
It's like when we go to an amusement park, and I'm like, I'll hold our bags.
Yeah, oh, like, I'm going to get you those glasses. They make those, like, seasickness glasses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have, like, this fluid in the bottom so that your eye can focus, so it's like you're looking at the horizon.
Oh, that's interesting. Really cool.
They look like, you know those, like, straw glasses that you had when you were, like, a little kid? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
All right. Well, they look like that. They look absolutely ridiculous. But it's if like, they help, then...
No, if it... Listen, I get the bracelet shit. I'm taking a patch on the Ritalin. Or Ritalin. Yeah. I do not take Ritalin. I did take it when I was little, but I don't take it for a cruise.
Yeah. I guess if I got really seasick, I'd rather look nerdy than be vomiting everywhere.
I would completely agree with that. Yeah. You know. No, not my thing. And here's another long-winded intro, but that's okay. So
typical.
Yeah, let's... all right, are we ready to dive into...
Yeah, I'm excited to hear yours.
Dive in.
Are you ready?
Dive into the water episode. Yeah. Yes.
I'm ready. I got let's my take a water splash. Wings on, you know?
We're diving in officially.
I can't wait. Yep.
Head first, or maybe not head first for some.
Oh, no.
Cannonball.
What?
I just assumed that was like tell into your story.
Oh, got it. You had me freaked out. Sometimes Brandon does some shit and I'm like, what? What's wrong? And he's like,
I assume you know everything that's going on inside of my mind.
I don't.
You don't, but I just assume you do. So
we are best friends.
You're welcome.
I don't know.
Most of the time you understand what I'm thinking.
I do. Like this morning, whatever we did at the same time. And I can't remember. I was brushing my teeth and you did it. And I was like, shut up. I just did that too. What were we saying? Are we singing? We're weird. We are weirdos alone.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, whatever. Let's dive in.
I think people are starting to see we're weirdos on this as well.
I know. So. All right.
It's charming.
So my title is Richard's Mates Were Shite. So it was May 19th of 1884 when four men hopped into a small yacht to set sail from Southampton, England, which also happens to be the same port that Titanic actually would sail out of on its maiden voyage in Southampton.
That's bad juju already.
I know. Right. I know.
I'm excited that this is an old one. We haven't done an old one in
1884. Yeah. So the four men were taking the yacht named the Mignonette, I'm probably saying that right, Mignonette, to its new owner that was in Australia. So the captain was Tom Dudley. He was 31 years old, and he was a proven yachtsman. Also in tow were Ned Brooks and Edwin Stevens, who also happened to be seasoned sailors. Rounding out the crew was its fourth member, cabin boy Richard Parker, which...
Cabin he was their boy. Peasant.
That's seeing
he's like their bitch.
That's what I
right. Yeah. That's what it sounds like too.
No, just wait. Okay. This was actually Richard's very first voyage on the open sea. But even though it was his first voyage, his family were actually seafaring.
I've never
seafaring.
Heard of that word.
Seafaring.
Seafaring. Thank you so much.
That's what I'm here for.
Not seafaring. No, seafaring.
Earlier I was like seafaring. What is that? And I'm like, that's not spelled as seafaring. See what?
Faring.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it. Seafaring family. And he sailed extensively in inshore waters. I don't know what inshore waters means. What
close does that mean? To
land. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's not a big ocean open water
big
guy.
Open so water it's
yeah.
guy.
The water by the shore.
So he's me. Anyway, the crew prepped the yacht. They set sail for their long journey to Australia, which is quite long in general. But things didn't go as planned. And what happened on their journey would send the crew scrambling to survive and would ultimately lead to murder.
How big is this boat?
Not that big.
That's I mean, their question. Crew is like, what, four or five?
Only four people. Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is like a smaller yacht.
It's a yacht in the 1800s. How?
Like, how big were they?
How big and how probably like, not very great big. They were.
It was big enough to have a dinghy, but I think you pull a dinghy behind you, right?
I mean, dinghy... vary in size. Oh, okay. You know?
I don't know.
How big is your dinghy?
You would know.
Big enough.
No, I don't. Does everyone know what a dinghy is? Because I didn't totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you do. Yeah. But a dinghy is like a little life boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this time, probably just a paddle boat.
Mm. Paddle.
Yeah, paddle boat.
Oh, it sounds like you were saying puddle. That like, what's too. A puddle boat?
It's a puddle boat. Puddle boat. Anyway, so this is actually the story of the ill-fated yacht, the Mignonette, whose crew would sacrifice a member in order to survive and would leave a lasting legal and cultural legacy, a legacy that actually extends to today.
Oh,
which is interesting. So it's worth saying that I pulled the story from History Extra, which is an official website for BBC History Magazine. So like everything I pulled was from that. So no plagiarization because I just cited you. Thank you. So anyway, here's some overall kind of interesting stuff. So it was the spring of 1884 when an Australian gentleman visiting England purchased the yacht, which he wanted delivered to his home in Australia. So he found Tom Dudley, who was a 31-year-old, who appeared capable of undertaking the task, and he in turn recruited three other men to help him, which ended up being Stevens, Brooks, and Parker. So the other three. So they set sail from Southampton, like I said, on May 19th, and set a southerly course to round the Cape of Good Hope, making a couple of stops en route to rest and restock their supplies.
Hmm.
So sounds like a trip I would not take.
Yeah, no.
Myself. It's kind of the weird thing about adventures in the sea back in the day is like they kind of were just like, are you able-bodied? All right, let's go.
Let's go. Right.
Yeah, do you want to make a couple schmeckles or whatever, sure. You know?
You cool to be on a ship for 3 months or 4 months or whatever?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, and no. Also, what? Like, how long was their transit?
I only got to where that stopped.
Oh. Mm. Well, how far was that?
I think it's about 4 months, though. I think it's like a 3 to 4 month trip, I think.
Ew. Too long.
I could be wrong. If you're a listener and have that information, please provide.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, how long did it take to get?
Well, how long would it have taken?
In the 1800s.
Late 1800s. Well, 84. Yeah, no, that's late.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was born just 102 years later. So.
Wow.
The coincidence.
It's there.
May 19th, almost
my birthday, yeah.
And your birthday, so.
And your birthday. Crazy. Yeah,
I know.
Hillary and I do share the same birthday.
We do share the same birthday.
May 21st, just a year apart.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
I know. Best friends forever.
We're twins.
We are. We even got the same tattoo at one point.
We did. Look at my scar.
Oh, I can see the scar. Yeah. Hillary had hers removed, whereas mine is still on the back of
and
my
I
neck.
And I only had it removed because I couldn't get into the Coast Guard with the neck tattoo.
That's right. And I forget is there because I can't see it. So, but everyone else can. And they're always like, what is that?
Yeah, what is it? In boot camp, they were like, were you in a gang? And I was like, I was not in a gang.
It kind of looks like...
It's just scarred up. So it was like still healing when I went. Right. So they were like, were you in a gang? Like yelling at me. And I was like doing push-ups. I'm like, no, I was not in a gang.
We'll have to post a picture of it on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll post a picture of it on Instagram. But basically, it's the number 21. With the Gemini symbol like intertwined with it. I think that the artist drew it that day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And we were like, just do that. And we got it. And it is still on my neck looking gross because it's been there for quite some time.
A long time.
Like 20 years.
Yeah.
Or more. Great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, all right, let's talk about the incident. So on July 3rd or July 5th of 1884, not sure which one because it was listed multiple ways, they were about 1,500 miles off of the coast of Africa after leaving Madeira on their way to Cape Town. So during this time, they encountered really strong winds and high seas, kind of like this, you know, rogue wave that we were talking about. Well, one hit them.
Oh, that's great.
And it overpowered the boat, sank it. So in that kind of moment where they were trying to, like, get the dinghy and all this shit, they weren't able to get much in general. And the one thing that they really wanted to get that they did not get was water.
Yeah. So,
that's not a great thing.
Yeah, although they're surrounded by water, not the water they should be drinking.
Well, no.
Also kind of curious what their emergency water supply looks like back in the 1800s. Oh, yeah.
That's what I think. You know? Was it a barrel?
Nowadays probably. We have like weird kits. Mm-hmm. It's like in these like foil packets.
Oh, interesting. You know? Well, you also have water, like the filter shit, right? Which you can drink the ocean water if you...
Yeah, we don't have those, but I'm sure they exist. Yeah. I'm sure that's a thing. But
we got one for our doom prep.
Somebody grab the barrel of water. I don't know.
Like how do you... No, that shit's going down. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they found themselves obviously in a very desperate situation as they became adrift in the South Atlantic, hundreds of miles from land. The only really thing that they were able to get was 2 1-pound tins of turnips.
Oh.
Ew.
Okay.
Gross. I'd rather go hungry.
I know. Yeah. Gross.
So gross. So over the next 12 days, they rationed out the turnips with Tom using his penknife, which I don't even know what a penknife is, to divide tiny portions of the rationed turnips or the turnips that they rationed.
Also, how long does a turnip last?
Right.
You know, like how can you like, have a turnip before they turnips? Turn?
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Like those turnips will only last 4 days. I don't know. That's, yeah, great question.
Hmm.
I guess they could have put them in but salt like, water. And
gross.
You know?
Yeah, but like just the thought of eating like
some dry ass turnip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That were probably dehydrated. Already like weeks old already because yes. they're long transit. Yeah. Hard pass on the turnip. Yeah.
So that's what they had. So they were, I mean, listen, the amount of weight that they probably lost during that time, I could use a turnip diet.
Yeah. Who needs Ozempic?
Right.
Just get lost at sea with turnips.
Yeah,
done.
That's right.
So eventually they caught a poor turtle that swam by and obviously ate the shit out of that turtle, eating all the meat.
I'm sure that helped them stay alive quite a bit longer.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure that you can't do that these days. Like, you need to leave the turtles alone. Thank you.
Also, like, how did you cook the turtle? Did you eat it raw?
Probably raw.
I asked Hillary that
turtle
earlier.
Turtle tartar.
Turtle tartar. Poor little
just
turtle.
Let it, like, ceviche. Yeah, leave it out in the sun for a little bit.
And
yeah,
you know the turtle maybe. Was probably like, what the fuck? Right? Because all of a sudden it's just lifted out of water. I don't know.
And, like, how big was the turtle? Like, I don't think there's a lot of meat on turtles to begin with.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I've never eaten one, though.
But I guess if you're starving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And I'm assuming they did a lot of things.
So they ate the little turtle. Then they would catch raindrops whenever a rainstorm would come. But eventually they resorted to drinking their own pee.
That's going to be a no for me.
Yeah.
Which we talked about pee last time. I'm not into it. So I would not be drinking my own pee.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you can't drink anything else.
Wait, which
movie?
Have you
seen that movie, 27 Hours, I think is what it's called?
Oh, no. With his arm?
Yeah, he like gets stuck under a big boulder.
Oh, that's James
his
Franco,
arm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and then like he starts like drinking his own pee, and that's how he survives.
Yeah, there's like mixed reviews on drinking urine. We looked it up earlier.
We did.
It's like some are like yeah,
like some people love it.
No.
Yeah, right.
There's probably a whole group of people that enjoy it just for funsies, even though they have access to fresh filtered water.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. That's so weird. I've definitely seen some pornos with like. Oh, with that. And I'm like, why?
That's, hard pass. Yeah, thank you.
No, thanks. No. But like, okay, if you're like, okay, there's a salt water, which will only dehydrate me even more, or my urine, and my throat is on a fire because I don't have anything to drink.
Or my urine. Yeah.
But also, like, dehydrated people's urine, that's got to be the most.
It's like the stinky urine. It's like if you have asparagus and you're like, wow, I had asparagus.
But it's like so dark and like,
oh my God.
Brother,
ew. Okay, so they could only do that.
This is why we don't go on boats.
Yeah, no. They could only do that for a little bit of time. So by July 17th, all supplies on board the little dinghy had been exhausted. So about this time is when Tom started thinking of the topic that's called custom of the sea, which was something in the 1800s that basically was the practice of drawing lots to select a sacrificial victim that could be consumed by his crewmates so that everyone could survive, which is really interesting. So basically they would be like, all right, like in order for us to survive, we're going to like draw straws. And whoever has the shortest gets killed and eaten.
Oh,
so cool.
Well, that sucks.
I know. So 3 days after he started thinking of that.
So many questions. I know. Keep going.
Little Richard Parker, who was 17, just couldn't take it anymore, and he ended up gulping down seawater in an attempt to quench his thirst, which just makes me break. It breaks my heart. But he ended up drinking way too much, and soon became violently ill, collapsing at the bottom of the boat with extreme diarrhea.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Which, let's talk about that for a second. If somebody has extreme diarrhea, like at least bend over the boat.
Right.
Yeah, take a swim.
Yeah, but also, it's still the 1800s, so you're in the... You're just shitting in a bucket, I'm sure.
Oh, it must have been so stinky.
I bet they didn't have a bucket.
Probably not.
He just was like...
Yeah, he just shat on the ground.
Yeah,
and then you add already like severe dehydration into that. Like, you're done.
No,
poor cabin boy is...
Oh, no.
He's out.
And at, like, were his other... Like, I just like... Were the other crew members like, no, don't do that?
I'm sure they were all just like, I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah, maybe they were like, go ahead and drink that water. You know?
Yeah, this problem's about to solve itself. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're not going to have to do a lottery for any of it.
No. Just in the corner like, Richard.
He just sacrificed himself.
I know. So over the next coming days, obviously Richard's condition deteriorated and Tom began to think about the concept of custom at sea again, where he was like, draw straws.
It feels very piratey.
I know. Except for they didn't draw straws. So on July 25th, after almost 3 weeks adrift, which is crazy, Tom actually insisted to Edwin that they sacrifice Richard because he was dying anyway. And they actually had wives and children and he didn't really have anyone.
Oh. Okay.
So... he also insisted that human flesh has been eaten before in the past, so it wouldn't be a big deal. But Edwin was like, absolutely not. Until daybreak came and Richard was looking, you know, bleak. Edwin was like, okay, maybe we can do that. So that next morning, instead of what?
I mean, he sounded like he was bad enough where he might have died just from natural causes.
Sure. Yeah. Which they could have just waited and ate a dead body. I don't know. So anyway, the next morning, when Edwin was like, oh, yeah, maybe. Instead of doing the custom, right, the custom of the sea and drawing lots, Tom told Edwin to hold Richard's legs if he were to begin to struggle and then knelt down beside Richard and thrust his penknife into his jugular.
That's quick.
And here's where things get a little, well, it's all twisty right now, but here's where things I was like, ew.
Now it gets real.
So according to their own accounts, because they were very forthcoming, they... used a chromometer case, which I don't know what that is either, but used that to catch the oozing blood, which they then passed around to moisten their parched mouths.
It's like wine.
Oh, God.
It's called a chromometer case. But they basically...
Sounds like a clock.
It does. Totally. Really? But also, if you go in the jugular, doesn't that shit just shoot out?
I mean, you're going to bleed out in like minutes.
Yeah. So they caught all the blood and then they just passed it around to moisten their parched mouths, which is gross. So they just started drinking his blood. Ew.
That makes me feel kind of sick.
Yeah.
Me
too.
Yep. They then stripped him. Yeah. And cut his body up, but not in a way that you think. So they first just dove into eating his heart and his liver.
Oh.
I'm not sure why, but I'm sure that it has, it's high in... something that they may need. Iron, maybe? I don't know. Well, right, that would make sense. You?
Mm. I mean, it sounds like they opened him and they were like, let's just dig in.
They're like, yum. Ugh. So after they did that, they were feeling a little bit satisfied. They then cut strips from him, of flesh from his limbs and then set that aside for future rations. And then whatever was left of Richard was pushed overboard.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they ate the remains for several days, but the flesh obviously began to rot out in the extreme heat and sun and all that. So on July 29th, after 24 days adrift, now remember, they decided to kill him, excuse me, on July 25th. July 29th, after 24 days adrift, a ship was sighted on the horizon. And that ship was called the Moctezuma, a German vessel that was bound for Hamburg. Had spotted them and came to its aid. So they were all cared for, and a month later they arrived back in Falmouth, England. What's interesting, though, is that there's conflicting information that says that they pushed his body overboard, but then, like, later in the trial, they, like, fought for them to bring his body back or something. I don't know, it's weird. So that was the situation. So let's talk about the arrest and the trial. So from the moment that they were rescued, Tom actually made no attempt to hide or gloss over the fate of Richard, like, at all. He was really forthright, and he was honest, and so in his mind, he thought killing and consuming Richard was a tragic necessity, and that they took the drastic measures. Is that little Finn again?
No.
Oh. He's screaming child. We can never escape them.
They're everywhere.
I know. So the authorities in Britain viewed these matters differently. And so, oh no, that's Finnegan. Little nugget. So anyway, public opinion in Falmouth was actually pretty sympathetic to the crew's actions. However, the local shipping master was required by law to notify the Board of Trade of this violent death on a British ship. So he sent a telegram to London, and then they, of course, arrested the three surviving men. The crew was pretty amazed at the turn of events because they were like, what? So then this actually got them caught up in this legal process. And basically the ruling of the process not being followed of custom of the sea. So What's interesting is that 10 years previous to this, there had been another like cannibalized whatever wreck of the Exun, and that date the legal establishment had sought to prosecute the perpetrators, but it collapsed in general. So they actually saw this as another opportunity to go after this kind of like custom of the sea idea. So the crew appeared before the magistrates. And so Ned was exonerated, actually, because he played little to no active part in the killing and did not like consume much. But Tom and Edwin were arraigned for murder. So what's interesting is that outside of the courtroom, Richard's older brother, who was also a sailor, actually like shook their hands and like gave them like the to be like we understand that mm-hmm. you had to do this to our brother and our son or whatever, which is really interesting. So the trial actually began in early November of 1884. And it was apparent that the outcome was largely actually predetermined. So addressing both a jury and a packed chamber, Judge Baron Huddleston, very British name, opened the trial with a detailed explanation as to why the law could not recognize the necessity as justification for killing. So they were saying that we had to kill him because it was necessary for our survival or whatever. So the defense's case was like then invalidated in general. So this kind of was like set up for them to fail. So they basically were like, they described their desperation of like having to fight for survival or whatever. His account, Tom's account of what happened aboard the ship appeared to have fallen short of the requirements. Instead of engaging in a random selection process, he and Edwin focused solely upon the boy. And it seems that they kind of waited for him to get sick and then like killed him. And so the decision was made to take his life, obviously. So the interesting thing is, this is what so when they were picked up, they insisted that the body be taken back to have like a Christian burial and in Britain, again, that was conflicting information because it said that they had like threw his body overboard or whatever. So, the verdict. So despite the steering of the judge, the jury was actually reluctant to pronounce Tom and Edwin guilty. What's interesting about the time there is that murder at that time was like you were executed automatically in general if you were guilty of murder. So in another pre-planned gambit, the judge offered the jury the option of returning a special verdict, an unusual judicial procedure which referred the case to a higher court. So Tom and Edwin were ultimately convicted of murder, but not by the jury of their peers, but by instead the panel of five judges. So the verdict required the senior judge to sentence them to death, but it was assumed in the press that a pardon would quickly follow, but it didn't. And so two convicted murderers, they could not walk completely free of punishment, whatever the circumstances. But in the end, the secretary settled on a sentence of 6 months imprisonment, and that's it. And so both Tom and Edwin were dispatched to Holloway Prison to serve out the term. So what's interesting is that there's a professor and a historian of law, Brian Simpson, that described that trial as procedurally a complete mess. But what's interesting is that it gave, and this is why it kind of like ties back to like law and like current day shit. So it gave a definitive ruling on the custom of the sea, and Regina versus Dudley and Stevens, which were Tom and Edwin, remains to this day the case used to introduce students of common law to the complexities involved in pleading necessity as a defense to murder. It's like the idea of like doing like murdering somebody and saying I had to, like it was a necessity I had to, in the sense of like being having to eat them or whatever.
I mean, that's
so
it's a fine line,
right? Like, in this way the crew achieved a degree of immortality because they're still used in law books today to talk about this necessity thing. So what's interesting, and I did not know this, away from law courses and schoolrooms, the greatest victim in the whole story was achieved or I'm not even reading that right. Anyway, Richard Parker lives on. So what's interesting is that in Jan Martel's best-selling novel, Life of Pi, Ang Lee, you guys, Life of Pi, the movie that came out. So what's interesting is that that's the story of Richard Parker, but instead of his fate being like this crew, it turned into like this tiger.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So instead of him being killed and eaten by his companions, instead a full-grown Bengal tiger was replaced as that crew, which is interesting. And so here's also an interesting note, and I don't know if you've heard of this, and probably not, but it says that seafarers, is that right?
Yes.
called Richard Parker, seem to suffer from a curse. So it seems inadvisable for anyone called Richard Parker to go to sea, as commentators at a time noticed that the victim shares the same name with an ill-fated character in Edgar Allan Poe's masterpiece of maritime horror, The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym, which was like in 1837. So Poe's character, Parker, leads a mutiny on board the Grampus. When the ship is wrecked, he finds himself adrift with the novel's hero and two other characters. Just like the crew, the survivors are wracked with hunger and reduced to following the custom of the sea. Unlike real life here, it is Richard Parker who proposes that lots be drawn, but in an eerie anticipation of actual events, it is then Parker who draws the short straw and ends up being eaten by his companions.
Hmm.
And then 40 years before Poe's novel, another sailor called Richard Parker also met a violent end. One of the ringleaders of the naval mutiny at the Nore in 1797, this Parker was subsequently hanged from the yardarm of the HMS Sandwich. Poe named his mutineer after this historical figure, while author Jan Martel's Richard Parker in The Life of Pi arguably channels all three precursors, oh my God, to evoke both the spectacle of cannibalism and the mutinous impulses in the body which drive us to such repulsive acts.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on
crazy.
It? Like, murder, not murder?
Well, it's hard to because
I don't know.
Chances are he could have lived if he was still alive and they saw the boat.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was like not that many more days later.
No, but they didn't know that.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't know that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know.
And also, they could have just said he already died.
They could
100%, but they told the truth.
Yeah. I mean, right? I appreciate their integrity.
Me too.
You know.
Me too. Yeah, they were God-fearing men.
But
I
don't.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because it's not like our typical ones where it's
maliciously attacked them.
This is we were trying to survive.
Yeah, it's not like it was premeditated. Like, there's just nothing. It was just kind of like shit, we got to survive. It's kind of like the story of the plane that crashed in the Andes, I think.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah, where they ended up eating. They didn't kill anybody, but they definitely ate the dead bodies that were frozen.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's already dead, I might do it.
Yeah.
I might do it. I don't know if I'm eating it raw, a boat.
Like, can we get a grill over here?
You know?
I think there's a lot of factors that go into making that decision.
I would agree with that. Oh, my God. So that's Richard's mates were shite.
They were shite.
Yeah. But they also had to deal with his shite. So, right?
Oh, true. Because he did diarrhea.
Because he did diarrhea all over the place.
Yeah,
poor Richard.
He was low man on the totem pole.
I know. And he was probably like,
poor guy.
Help me, friends. And then they just stab him in the neck.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, fuck, dude.
And he only went probably because he was super poor.
Yeah.
And needed money.
And it was his first time on the Yeah. Nope. No thanks. Mm. So
it was an interesting one.
Yeah, that's that one. All right, Brandon. Wow. You ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah, B, what's yours?
All right. All right, Brandon Linus.
All right.
I laugh every time you say
that. I don't know why I call him that.
It's so
stupid.
It's so cute.
I love it.
I
don't even remember why you started saying that.
I call him Brandon Linus, Brandolini. What else do I call you?
Ass.
Okay. That's maybe true. I love it. All right. Well, what's yours again? What's the second title that
the second title I have was Never Trust a Stranger, which I think is just a good motto to have.
That's smart.
That's also
People should earn your trust, right? Yeah.
Right. Okay. So this
I don't
is...
trust anybody.
I mean, no.
No.
Yeah. Nope. No. Yeah. Nope.
Which I think has come because we did trust people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think as you get older, that wisdom starts to come because of experience.
If you get bit, nah.
Yeah, I'm not a good person to bite either because I am not nice.
No, you're not.
No.
I mean, you are, but not when you've been burnt.
And I try, listen, I give a lot and a lot and a lot, but if you fuck with me too much, no. I'm not very nice about it.
No, but, you're not.
Or if you fuck with other people. Okay. All right. On that note, Brandon. Right.
So this is a story that is... I've heard it before, so it wasn't new to me, but I forgot about it. So I'm interested to see if you're going to remember this one because we watched a show about it once. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. So On June 1st, 1989, Joan Rogers and her two daughters, Michelle and Christy, were on vacation in Florida from a small rural town in Ohio.
Yep, this was a Dateline or something.
It was.
I can already tell.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. They were a family of dairy farmers. That sentence just sounds so strange. Anyways.
Are we back in 1884? They were
1989.
I know, but they were a
dairy farmers.
Dairy farmer family. Yeah,
no, they were. Anyway.
Seafaring dairy farmers.
Yeah.
I like this. I like where it's going already.
Right. This is great.
So the family was on vacation, except for Joan's husband, Hal. He decided to stay back because being that they had a farm.
It's church time.
Let's
have a moment.
Do we need to have a moment?
Everyone's silence.
Right. Everyone, just a second of silence for Jesus. Done. All right.
Done. Just one quick second.
Luckily, it's one, so it'll just be...
I love it. I love it. Right. So this makes me miss New York.
I know it does. So Hal decided to stay back because as a dairy farmer, you work 24/7 every single day of the year.
Yeah, no days off on the farm.
No days off on the farm.
Is it done?
Yeah, because it's
amen.
One, so only one.
Amen.
Thank God it's not 12.
Right. All right, keep going.
So just days prior, they packed up their car and made the trek down to Florida, making stops in various towns along the way. And on June 1st, they left Orlando to their next destination, which is Tampa, Florida.
Of course.
Which I didn't remember that being here, which I thought was interesting.
Back in Tampon, Florida.
We are back in Tampon.
Yeah, so, speaking of tampons, you guys have so many tampons in this office.
We do, yeah. Yeah, something that we do at our agency is we buy all of the
It's amazing that you do it. Yeah. There might be more tampons here than there are in my actual
There's
office
sure.
right now.
Yeah, and we actually do each team member's preferred product, God. So they can just tell us what they want.
Wow.
That is called good management.
Yeah, good bosses.
Yeah,
should be. They shouldn't have to.
It's called working for a millennial.
Yeah.
I love that.
Right. No, it's pretty great. Yeah. But yeah, that's why it's in the bathroom. Yeah.
All right. So they're in Tampa.
They're in Tampa. So
where we have loads of tampons. Yeah. In our bathroom.
You can get a tampon in Tampa. the girls were excited because after a quick check-in at their motel, they were going to be headed right to Busch Gardens for a fun day at the amusement park. Mm. So, however, Joan eventually got lost on their way to find the motel. So pulling over to check her map, she was a little surprised to see a man approach her car because she stopped at a gas station. The man asked if they were lost, noticing that they had an Ohio license plate. So he decided to help the ladies, and the man wrote down directions on to their motel on a brochure for Clearwater before he invited them on a sunset cruise on his boat.
No.
No, man. Yeah.
No. So, nope. You do not get on boats with strangers.
Exactly. So don't trust a stranger. So being that the ladies were on vacation, they thought, why not? And they decided to accept his offer pretty excitedly.
Yeah. These are the moments where you decide not to do this.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
I don't know you.
Or that's the moment that you go back to when you're in danger and you're like, why the fuck did I do that?
Stranger danger.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Stranger danger. Tour.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that evening, the ladies made their way to the boat launch that he told them to meet them at. And what the ladies didn't know that this would be the last time that they'd ever step on solid ground again.
Oh my God. That's
devastating when you think about it and you say it like that.
It is.
I know, right?
Ugh.
Yeah. So I decided for this one to just jump right into who the man was instead of extending the story.
What was his name again?
Well, that's what I was about to get into. So who was this man, you might ask?
Whose man's is this?
I literally have it in my
really funny.
So who was
right
this
on
man?
Cue.
Literally says, who was this man?
And, but I don't even have his full name in here. Anyways, so born on October 11th, 1946, Oba Chandler was the fourth child of Oba Chandler Sr. and Margaret Johnson in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Never trust an Oba.
Nope. So named after his father, Oba was only 10 years old when his dad died by suicide in 1957, hanging himself in the basement of their home. The family of Oba Sr. Blamed it on Margaret because, of course, it would be the wife. What?
Hmm.
Didn't he choose to do that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, he hung himself, but the family decided to blame it on Margaret, saying that she killed him. And Margaret ended up blaming it on Oba Sr. I'm sorry.
Oba Sr.'s death. On Oba
I know
Jr.
there's too many. There's I know. Yes, thank you. Hillary got it right. She knew what I was talking about.
Hillary knows.
So Margaret blamed it on Oba Jr. For his behavioral issues because during his childhood, it was known that Oba was not the easiest child and he often acted out at school. So after his father died, Oba's destructive nature only got worse, starting with his first arrest at 14 for stealing a car. By the time he was 18, he was arrested around 20 times for various reasons like stealing, which included multiple cars, the possession of counterfeit money, and even arrested for masturbating while peering into a woman's window. Yeah. So he was,
Junior.
He was a great dude.
He had some issues, clearly.
Yeah. However, it wasn't the end of it. As he got older, his crime started to expand into more serious crimes like burglary, armed robbery, and multiple sexual assaults. And then I did see at one point he and a friend broke into a couple's home and robbed them at gunpoint, which progressed to him telling his friend to tie up the man with wires from a speaker in the room. And then Oba took the woman into her bedroom where he made her strip her clothes while he tied her up and rubbed a revolver across her stomach.
Wow.
Right. They both survived, though. Nobody was killed, and that was the extent of what I've
read. Can you
read
just
from
say
that.
What you wrote right
oh,
there?
Oh, yeah, I wrote fucking creep. Sometimes yeah. I put my like, creep. Actual, like...
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
At what point, if you, like, go to jail over 20 times, are you just like, we're just going to keep you
in here?
You
should just stay there.
You know what I mean?
There's obviously an issue.
Think about all the things they could have prevented if 100%. They were just locked up.
I agree.
Oba.
Yeah.
Fucking Oba.
Junior.
Yeah, right. Well, over the years, Oba jumped around from different cities, dating various women, and overall having 8 children with 7 different women. He was obviously known as some kind of a player, often dating multiple women at once.
Was he cute?
I mean, he just looked like your typical dude in the 80s.
And he's from Ohio.
From Ohio.
And his family was also from Ohio.
Yeah, I think so.
What are the odds?
That's interesting. Maybe that's why he was like...
Mm. Well, and I actually took that note out in the beginning, but when he noticed the license plate, he did relate to them in the fact that he was from Ohio,
of course he
too.
Did.
Right. Yeah. So by the time he was 41 in the late 80s, Oba was in Tampa, married to a woman named Deborah Whiteman, had a daughter, and he started his own aluminum business. He bought a house and a blue and white 21-foot Bayliner boat.
Hmm.
Yeah. So from what I read, he loved being on the open water. It was a place for himself to be free, alone, and away from the pressures of life and a new baby.
Okay, I could get that, I
guess. Oh, right, yeah. Like, oh, there's a baby on land, I'm out.
Like, fuck it.
Right, yeah, right.
Responsibility, he's like, no thanks.
Get me away from all of this. And the great part is that Oba realized this opportunity it brought... to continue, sometimes I read the things I write, and I'm like, this, I feel like, doesn't make sense. Anyways, he realized it was a great opportunity to continue his promiscuous lifestyle. So, and he would lure women onto his boat and eventually try to sleep with them while they were on his boat, using it as like a...
I think already the moral of the story for anyone is if somebody's trying to lure you onto their boat, just
don't go
say
on
no.
It. Yeah.
Like,
no.
Use... reputable tour companies.
Yeah, you would be surprised at how many things we interrupt on a boat.
Can you give examples?
Yeah, so this was here, actually. We had stopped. There was like a pontoon boat, like anchored, and we're like, oh, like, let's do a quick boarding real quick. So we go on board, and our whole purpose is just check safety gear and make sure you're good to go.
Totally.
This man's did not have pants on.
Oh.
He had a towel. But his wife was like, one minute. And I'm like, yo, for real? Like, no, come on. I'm like hanging off our boat. Like,
oh my God.
I'm like, are you good? Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or like people that, like men, where you're like, I'm pretty sure that's not your spouse. Like, we've interrupted some of that. They get real upset.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also like, dude, fuck off. You know? Like, people suck. Like,
People do suck.
People suck.
Let's go get some. Let's go get sexy on the water.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oba would not like.
Like
you guys.
I get it, but like not around other people.
No,
you know what I mean.
But I feel like that's a thing for people, is like a fantasy to be like, ooh,
yeah,
you know, like, oh yeah, I don't know.
It makes me feel weird.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not trying to be in your bedroom. Right.
I'm just doing my job.
Yeah. Like, just let me see your life jackets. I'm gonna get the fuck out of here.
That's all I need. I don't need to see all this other stuff.
No, put your butt away.
Yeah.
Put that booty away.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Gross.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people are fun. Now we get to May 14th, 1989.
That's my mom's birthday. Yeah. Oh,
Pam.
Yeah.
Does Pam still listen to the podcast?
She might listen to this one.
All right, good.
Yeah, I'm going to tell her to listen to this one.
Yeah. Pam.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you since I was like...
It's been a minute.
Like, I think I was 23.
Yeah.
It's a while ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she'd love to see you, though. She wants to see you.
I love her. Oh, and Sam, your sister.
Yeah, she's also a big fan of you guys. She listens to you religiously.
I always thought Sam looked like Celine Dion.
She does.
I know, she does. I love her.
Yeah, hi, she Sam. Loves you guys. Yeah, she's going to be so thrilled.
I know.
Yeah, sissy. I love it. Shout out.
Shout out. Shout out. All those in Colorado. Hello.
Colorado.
Okay, Brandon.
All right, May 14th. Back to May 14th, 1989. when Oba met two women at a 7-Eleven in Madeira Beach, Florida.
I really hope they got some slushies.
You know, I did not see any reports on that. But
darn.
When the slushie come out?
Hopefully in 1980s.
You know?
Right?
I don't know.
Probably about that time.
I feel like I've seen some shows that they had like slushies in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he ended up meeting two women named Judy Blair and Barbara Mottram. I'm so bad with names. Anyways, they were there in the area on vacation from Canada.
Oh, from Canada.
Yeah, Canada.
Love that.
So in this meeting, Oba introduced himself as Dave Posno. And told them that he owned an aluminum business in Bradenton and a boat that he eventually then again invited them on. Oh my gosh. They invited him on the next morning.
You're so cute.
I know. I hate reading. And it's all my notes. And as I read, I'm like, oh, I misspelled a lot in here. I even misspelled his name a few times. It's Obi. Literally three
you
letters.
You have Obi.
And I have Obi. Obi and Oboe. I just saw. So hoping to interest the both of them, he was a little disappointed when only Judy accepted his offer. And the next morning, they got on his boat and took off. For Judy, this trip was pretty uneventful, and Oba didn't really try anything with her. However, some came to think that nothing happened since he knew that Barbara would be expecting her back. So as they docked that day, Oba decided to offer another sunset trip with them that evening, hoping to get a second chance. So that evening came, and to his surprise, Barbara didn't show up, and it was just the two of them again. This time, however, Oba didn't want to hold back. Yeah. So starting with getting a little frisky, Oba started to touch and hug Judy, and talking to her about how he wanted to have sex with her, all of which Judy politely declined, which only made Oba more mad, and he only proceeded to take advantage of her. So she begged him not to. She even told him that she was a virgin, which only made him more excited.
That is like the worst thing to say.
Yeah, when I read that, I was like, yeah, you don't want to say that because this dirtbag's going to be attracted to that.
If someone was like trying to do that to me, I would be like, not the virgin thing, but I'd be like, I might have something you might not want. Like,
yeah, right.
I actually, yeah. You know.
I would be like, I'll suck your dick and I'd bite it off. Oh. That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, sorry, like, Mom.
That's disgusting. Yep. Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
But this is, I do not understand. This is something I don't get. In men, how being told that I'm a virgin would turn them on more.
Well, it's just like them saying no, and it turns him on even more.
They're predators.
Yeah, exactly.
because they're pedophiles.
They're just fucked. Like, I don't get, I just, like, well,
yep.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah. No. And it was even quoted later that he said, is sex worth losing your life over to her to get her to do it? Yeah.
No.
Predator indeed.
Yeah.
What
so,
the fuck?
Yeah. So then he proceeded to pin her down and sexually assault her. And then after the assault, he got up and headed back to shore. And there were some notes that said, like, his demeanor changed and he started throwing up off the boat. And people were like, is it because he was ashamed of it or because of the adrenaline of it happening? So he ended up getting up to shore where he had her jump out of the boat and swim to the beach as he drove away to go to a different location.
Bye, bitch. Yep. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'd have jumped overboard before.
Right. I probably would have done the same. And so the next morning, Judy ended up calling the police and reporting the assault. Luckily, she was able to give the police a full account of what happened and what he looked like. However, they were not able to collect any forensic evidence because she was in the water. And then she took a shower before she went in, which I probably would have done the same thing to be like, whatever. So So then 2 weeks later, Oba meets Joan Rogers and her two daughters. So this brings us back to the beginning of the story.
How old were her girls again?
They were teenagers. They were teenagers. I usually put their ages in here and I'm pretty sure,
if I remember the story correctly, I think they were like 12, 13.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They were pretty young.
They were young. I think they might've been a little bit older, but I could take a quick look in a second.
I thought they were under 16. Yeah.
So, so once Joan, Michelle, and Christy got to the boat dock that evening, Oba was obviously thrilled and took off quickly. So once Oba felt like they were a good distance into the bay, he decided he was prepared to attack. So he bound their wrists, and this is a little bit of trigger warning, but he bound their wrists behind their backs with yellow rope and put duct tape over their mouths before he sexually assaulted them. And a lot of reports I saw said that people think that he only covered their mouth so that he could see like the pain on their faces. So after the assault, he wrapped rope around their necks that had a 30-pound concrete block attached to the end of it.
No.
He left them naked from the waist down, and he pushed each of them overboard one by one, still alive.
Yo, that just gave me goosebumps. Oh,
that's fucked.
Right?
Yeah. That's terrible.
Like, it's one thing to kill somebody, but to push them overboard.
Well, because they all drown.
Yes, yeah, and they all drown.
It's a quick thing.
No, yeah. it's horrendous.
What a trash ending.
Right, so.
Was this the first time that he, like, went to killing, though?
We'll get there.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm always jumping ahead.
You always are.
Okay.
So because of the decomposition process in the warm waters of the Tampa Bay, because the Tampa Bay gets really warm.
Bloat.
Yep, the bodies didn't last underwater for too long because they started to fill with gas. And 3 days later, on June 4th, the three bodies were discovered by the Coast Guard floating in various different parts of Tampa Bay. Oh, jeez. So, however, when they got the bodies, because they did not have any clothing from the waist down, they couldn't identify the bodies because they had no form of identification on them. So soon into their investigation of who the bodies were, the police received a call from the motel that the ladies were staying at. A maid at the hotel said that there were three women staying there that they haven't seen in a few days. When the police investigated the motel, they heard of the names of Joan, Michelle, and Christy. Finding the information on Joan's husband, they called him, and the police asked for the lady's dental records, which confirmed that it was the Rogers family. So the police started their investigation into the murderer, which started to prove to be a little bit difficult because the ladies were in the water for so long. It washed off a lot of the biological evidence that could have been on the bodies, whether that was hair, clothing fibers, fingerprints, or even semen.
I love how you spelled semen as like
I semen. Did. I see as in semen. Yeah, you're welcome. And I love that you just look at my notes. I misspell so
I'm
much.
Literally just following it. I don't know why. Yeah,
you always do. I always see your eyes on it. So that was until lead detective Jim Kappel saw a monthly bulletin from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement where he learned of a story of a woman who was assaulted on a boat in Madeira Beach. Mm. So looking into the attacker, Dave Posno, he felt like he came to a dead end when he couldn't find any records of that name in the Tampa Bay area. So taking a trip to Canada to meet with Judy and Barbara, Detective Kappel questioned the two and asked, and he was asking for a more complete overview of what happened, including a description of the attacker to create a composite sketch. So once they can spot once the sketch was hit in the media in November, it quickly became a pretty big news story. One that Oba wanted to avoid at all costs. So packing up, he jetted right out of Tampa back up to Cincinnati and not even telling his wife that he was leaving. He just left. Yeah.
Oh, and his child.
Yeah.
Yep. What a piece of trash.
Yeah, what a shitbag.
Right. Well, speaking of his children, when he got to Ohio, he ended up meeting with one of his daughters, Crystal, and her husband, Rick Mays, who was in the area. And in this meeting, Oba decided to confess to them that the police were after him for assault and murder.
Like, oh, great.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, hi. Right.
Yeah, I'm so, thinking fuck who you are. I'd be right. Like, yeah.
Wow. So Crystal quickly called Oba's current wife, Deborah, who also started having some suspicions about Oba after noticing that the composite sketch looked awfully familiar. However, for some reason, Oba decided to go back to Florida right after Thanksgiving, and all of Deborah's suspicions went away after Oba let her know that he had no part in any of it.
Okay.
So she just believed him.
Okay.
From my research, yeah. So from here, Oba knew that he had to leave the state of Florida for good, leaving the majority of their belongings in their Tampa home. They got in the car and started driving to California. However, it was very short-lived, and nobody quite knows how long or how far they got. But eventually they ended up making their way back to Tampa. And I didn't really see much about like what happened in that time or why. But from here, Oba would eventually land a job from May to September in 1991 as an informant for the U.S. Customs and Tampa Police Departments.
What?
Yeah. So he would go out and he would help them find murderers and solve crimes and all that shit.
Okay.
Yeah. However, by 1992, Oba once again decided to leave the Tampa area and ended up in Port Orange, Florida, which is on the opposite coast by Daytona. So in this time, the detectives didn't stop their investigation, eventually searching Joan Rogers' car for more evidence. And in this search, they found a brochure for Clearwater Beach that had handwritten directions to the motel the family was staying at. It also included the fingerprints of Joan and a palm print that did not match anyone in the family. So from here, the police decided to analyze the handwriting and came to the conclusion that it was not written by any of the ladies that were killed that day, and it must have been from the killer. So with this information, the police decided to do something that I find, especially because we are in advertising and marketing, pretty interesting. So since the T's and the Y's in the letter were written a very unique way. Like I want to say if a T was in the middle of a sentence, he made a capital T. Mm-hmm. In the Y, there was like four different ways he would write the letter Y. So they thought, why not get the handwriting sent out to the masses to see if anyone could recognize the handwriting? So they acquired billboards throughout Tampa Bay that they created signs that stated, "Who wrote these directions? You may know who killed the Rogers family. $$25,000 reward."
They put that's this genius. On a billboard?
On billboards, yeah, with a picture of the handwriting symbol, which I have in here, to me, is a genius way to get the message out, especially because there was no social media. There was no there was internet, but there wasn't. It wasn't what it is today. Like the easiest way for them to get out to a large audience
was billboard.
And if you Google it, I'll add it into
the highway.
Oh, yeah. H Media. Yep. That's great.
And I'll add it into the creative for the episode, but there was multiple different billboards that it was
on. And the billboards around Tampa Bay have been here since then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's newer digital ones, but like the older ones have been here for a long time.
Yeah. And this like marketing strategy they did, it ended up working. So in May of 1992, a woman who recognized the same handwriting from a contractor she hired noticed that they had the same unique handwriting as the billboard. So that contractor ended up being Oba Chandler. So on September 24th, 1992, Oba was arrested at a gas station near his home in Volusia County, Florida. Unfortunately for detectives, Oba had sold his boat 3 months after the murder, so they weren't able to search it for more evidence. However, they had a match in the palm print on the Clearwater brochure. And Oba was identified as the rapist who attacked Judy Blair when she was shown a photo of him. And by November 10th, Oba was indicted by a Pinellas County grand jury for 3 counts of first-degree murder.
Good.
Yeah. The trial started on September 19th, 1994, and from the beginning, Oba denied all allegations, stating that he helped them with the directions, but he never saw them again until he saw them on the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a bitch.
Right. Mm-hmm. However, there was many who testified to prove him wrong, and a few was Judy, who told the courts her interactions that day, that how he brought her on the boat and what happened and everything that happened to her. And then a coworker, Rollins Cooper, told the courts that Oba bragged to him. Ooh, I just spit all over this mic. That's gross. Right? And nobody would have known that but me. So you're welcome. I could have just pretended it didn't happen. Anyways, so he told the courts that Oba bragged to him about a date he had with 3 women the day after the murder. And then Crystal, his daughter, told the courts her account of when he came to her home and admitted that the police were after him for the killings in the
wow.
Yeah.
Back up. He had dates with 3 women. That was a woman and 2 children.
Yes, exactly.
Gross.
After the court finished, it was pretty evident to the jury that Oba was guilty of the murder. And on September 29th, 1994, he was found guilty on all 3 counts of first degree murder and all 12 jurors voted that Oba be sentenced to death.
And you had said earlier about something about his daughter, right? His daughter testified against him?
Against him, yeah. Okay. Well, to say that she...
like he confessed to her.
This is what he said to me when he came to see us. One juror even stated he scared some of the jurors when he would sit there and stare at you and have that stupid grin on his face. He would make your skin crawl, which I thought was interesting. So throughout the rest of Oba's time, he would continue to deny the murders, and he would appeal the death sentence repeatedly, all of which did not go through. And on November 15th, 2012, Oba was served his final meal of 2 salami sandwiches on white bread with mustard and a cup of coffee. And
ew.
Right? It's disgusting. And he wrote down his last statement because he didn't want to say it out loud, which said, "You're killing an innocent man today." And at 4:08 p.m., right? So 4:08 p.m., Oba was executed by lethal injection at the Florida State Prison of Railford, Florida.
And all I got to say is lethal injunction.
Injunction.
Injunction. Injunction.
What's your function? God. No, but that, like, that compared to tying people
up.
They should have just tossed him over the side.
Eye for an eye. I don't know. That's like...
Or just
which we had a whole, I feel like we had a whole conversation about like the debate of like capital punishment, right?
Yeah.
I think in general.
Yeah, a few episodes ago. Here, Oba, just take a long walk up a short pier, you know? Get out of here. Well, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting.
What's weird is he only had 3 murders, like not like a history of murder.
But just... I wonder, I mean, that was the 80s. Like how many are unaccounted for? Like how many?
So I have an interesting fact.
Oh. Do tell.
Oh. Right. So many believe that Oba murdered before, including a woman named, and I'm going to do so bad at this. Ivelisse Barros. I'm so bad with names.
Bergessi.
So bad. Yeah. So, so she had a similar death to the Rogers family in Coral Springs, Florida. Mm. And at the time, the DNA samples that were taken, the technology wasn't that great. And so they couldn't really tell what happened, and they couldn't identify who it was. Mm-hmm. But eventually, when the tech got better, they were able to retest the DNA, and they found it a positive match to Oba. So there's chances
that he didn't go from 0 to 100. Yeah. He dabbled.
He probably was doing. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And to the degree where the Florida cold case detectives have been advised that if they're investigating any case that happened within that time period, that they should look into where Oba was living at the time, because chances it could be him.
So he's like a fucking serial killer. Technically he is, because that's 3.
Yeah.
That's
killed 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a mom, a daughter, and her friend?
No, it was a mom and 2 daughters.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm confusing it with some murders that were California in the mountains when it was a mom, a daughter, and a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last fact I have was, at first the police thought it could have been their father, Hal. They thought it was weird that the ladies were supposed to be home 3 days before he called the police that they were missing. Mm. The detectives also felt like he was really cold about it all. Like he wasn't very emotional when they told him that they were dead. His response was that he didn't have time to be emotional, that he had a farm to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, he didn't
farm his life.
Yeah. He said he did what he had to do to function and not to worry about anything else. However, he had an alibi because he didn't like to cook. So there was a number of people who saw him at a couple different restaurants throughout that day.
Think about that though, because if he had not done that, then his alibi would be shit. And they probably would have
looked into
him. You never know. Yeah. That is so interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he denied that he said he was innocent till the end, because I feel like a lot of the times with the serial killers, they're like, once they get to the end of it, they're like proud.
They're proud
of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting.
Like, also, let's talk about the last meal.
Right.
Salami.
Right. Disgusting. Like,
I'm not blowing my last meal in salami sandwiches.
No.
Prison salami, too. No. No.
Which is mustard.
And bread and coffee.
And coffee?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Brother.
Right.
That one's really interesting.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember hearing about this one. I think it was it must have been a Dateline or 2020.
There was a Forensic Files on it.
Was it a Forensic Files?
But I'm sure there was a Dateline. There was a few files that came out after this, just because it's a more well known case than we typically do.
Yeah. Forensic Files, man. That started when I met you. I think I watched it then.
Yeah. We just like murder. It's just fascinating.
It is.
which is awful. But yeah, I mean, that was an interesting story. Both murders at sea. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder. Yeah. And if there's not murder at sea, there's a lot of murder that goes into the sea because like,
let's just dump it here.
There was something. I think it was like 2 years ago. The body that was found in Tampa Bay, that was floating.
There was a girl that was found.
Oh, maybe
in
that
like St. Pete's AOR.
How long ago?
Within the last year since I've been here.
Oh, so and they identified
like found
tattoos,
her in
right?
like a bag.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they found like. And I do not know all the facts of this. I just know that what I heard on the radio, it was that a girl's body, I don't know how old, was found in a duffel bag or some sort of bag.
Which she didn't put herself
floating
in.
Floating out in the, out somewhere around St. Petersburg.
It's interesting that people dump a lot of bodies in the, just in the ocean in general.
Yeah.
Because like How far can you conceivably go out in the water on a normal boat?
I mean, it depends on how big it is, you know, with like fuel range or if you have a sailing boat or whatever. Well, if you're on a sailboat, you can go wherever the wind will take you. But it's just like, and it's easy to be undetected on the water, especially if you're kind of like a loner. Mm. And like bodies, you know, like you can get rid of them. Like I'm not trying to be all weird, but like.
Oh, yeah.
They do bloat, but there are things that people do to them to make them not bloat, you know, or that if they do, the gas goes away, you know, like
if you
disperses.
Weight it down enough,
No, you poke holes in it.
Oh, my God. That's just.
Yeah, just to have it all released.
We are not here to advise
my mind went
people.
No, 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 no. But I'm just saying, like, if you think
but
about.
But it's the reality of it.
Right? And then you have things that can eat them and evidence just disappears. So.
I feel like that is probably. Likely in general, right? Like a lot of sea, I'm sure aquatic life would eat.
Oh yeah.
I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen things get eaten very quickly by sea life.
Oh, that's terrifying.
In a very short amount of time where you're like, oh my God.
What's the sea life? Is it like sharks?
Crabs, fish.
Wow.
Sharks.
Oh, interesting.
You would be surprised at like all those little fish.
Yeah.
Peck.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God.
So,
did you guys see that video of the kid who was like on a graduation boat or something?
And they dared him to jump in.
They dared him to jump and then he jumped and he was never seen again.
Yep.
And it was like
in New Orleans, wasn't
waters.
It? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, Hillary, Coast Guard, if somebody were to jump off of a cruise ship like that, so in that video, you could see that there was, I think that you could see there was something in the water.
Yeah.
That like
it
came
looked
up
like
and got
it.
Him. But even like I've seen people throw something from a big ship like that into the water and immediately like all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of shit eating it.
Mm.
So if this in this case and with this guy jumping off of the like what an idiot jumped off of this cruise ship into the water and there was clearly something in the water with him and he was just gone.
Well, I mean, the odds of things just like being there I feel like are pretty slim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So like it's just like you ought, like if you just assume that like if you jump in the water just for funsies that something's gonna immediately eat you. Like,
I do feel that.
But
I'm not gonna
what
lie.
People don't realize is like when boats are moving and like you go under alongside a hole, there's water moving and things under there. So he could have landed weird. He could have choked. He could have done. Yeah. I don't know.
And do.
Oh, that was creepy.
That was interesting. What? But you can get sucked underneath on a big cruise ship, right? Like if you get in the water, you can get sucked underneath the hole.
Yeah, it's like
right?
super dangerous. Like,
and then like go through the propeller.
Props, yeah, potentially.
That is terrifying.
Ooh.
I mean, all of it is terrifying.
Yeah. So listen, for anyone that's listening, if you're on a boat, stay on it. Okay. Stay on it.
Yes.
Like, do not jump. Don't do it. And if you ever think you can swim to land, don't do that either.
Oh, I'm not.
Because it's always like way farther than you think and you will tire out and probably die and drown before you get there. So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So this comes from directly from someone who does this every day.
Yeah.
So stay on the goddamn boat.
Yeah. If you flip a boat, get on the hole, stay with it, stay together because you're
really?
More. Well, one, you're not in the water, so hypothermia.
Oh, yeah.
But and then visibility.
What if the boat goes down? Like what if it.
If it
fills and it's gone,
then stay with your people. Oh it's God, a lot easier
so
to
terrifying.
Find a group of people than it is to find one.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that is that the ocean freaks me out so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
well,
why.
Just drowning is like the I feel like is one of the worst ways to die.
Yeah. You know, Molly
I
and
just
I
hate the idea of like not knowing what's beneath you.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that.
It's disgusting to me. It literally gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Like dark, I can't. There was a, okay, outside of Roswell, there is the Bottomless Lakes. I don't know if you've ever gone there,
Anna.
What
does that even mean?
I don't know. But like, it's like a super deep.
I hate
deep,
the sound of that.
I know. And I remember swimming in that and just thinking there are, like, where does this go? I don't know. Yeah, I don't like any of it, like ever. But there
I used to, as a kid, swim in a lake. Like we would do like inner tubing on this lake that was like, you couldn't see
anything.
Yeah. Like you couldn't even see it's your hands. It was so murky. And as a child, it was like fine. But once I started getting older, I was like, ew, what's under me? Like, I don't care if this isn't like super deep. It's still like, there could be dead bodies. There could be snakes. Like, I don't know. I just can't.
Yeah. I just, that's like Naya Rivera. That,
Oh my God. I know. I was so sad about that.
Yeah. Like that, even just the thought of, I don't know.
It takes nothing for you to drown. Like if you choke, your body's like, hold up and you're done. Like you're done breathing.
Yeah. See, and that, that just.
It's crazy.
Oh my God. Or you're trying to hold your breath, but your body forces you to breathe in.
We had, when was this? 2 or 3 weeks ago? A 16-year-old from Canada was down here for a swim, swim camp. Down off like Clearwater Beach, like Indian Rocks over there on my side.
Yeah.
And drowned. Oh, so we were like looking for his body at a swim camp.
Like that, terrible. I just.
During practice.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, it was not great.
I just, water.
Mm-mm. So like just wear your life jackets. Like if you have kids in the water, like watch them, put them on a leash. I don't know. Stresses me out.
I'm on a swim leash.
Stresses me out.
No, that's, I mean, I'm sure the shit that you do. Okay. When I was in high school, and you probably took the same things. You're in the same district. Our health class had to go to CSU, I think is where we went. And it was all about alcohol and drugs and like looking the at morgue. The impact. The morgue.
Yeah, yes. We did it at McKee Hospital
that's,
in Loveland.
That's where we went. Yeah. Okay.
Like you guys actually went to the morgue?
That, yes. To this day, fucked me up.
Me too.
Like I was like, we're fragile. We can die.
Yeah. And I remember not drinking specifically because of one thing that I saw. And it was that picture of the guy who had flown off the boat and got his head got sliced in half by the propeller. Do you remember that?
No, but I remember the guy that didn't have a face because he went through the windshield and smashed it on the winch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. But it was horrifying. We were,
we were children.
Like in Colorado.
Yeah, we were. It was high school.
Was it ninth grade?
I was like 16. We didn't do that.
Okay. Maybe it was our sophomore year. Maybe. Because you were in Thompson.
Wait, Valley.
Valley. Yeah. So we were in the same district.
Yeah.
They didn't do that in Connecticut.
Ooh, it was rough.
It messed me up though. Me too. I was even now I'm like
no.
I think about it all the time. It's probably why I'm weird about death.
Yeah. I'm probably the same.
I think about death a lot.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Like in what way?
Just how fast it can happen, how easily it can happen.
It's not like
how fragile we are.
It's not like you're thinking about death of others.
No. More so like just I don't know. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. I feel like I get older I think about it more too.
That like you're just like, it's like, okay. And then it's not in like a split second. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God.
Every time I like find out a new way that you could die that I've never thought about before. Like, you know, if you eat leftover rice,
you
can get like this certain bacteria and just die. I'm like, every time I think about things like that, I'm like, oh yeah, we could just be out.
I haven't had leftover rice in months because of that shit, you know? But my whole life, think about like your whole young adult life.
Rice.
You've been
eating
it cold, eating it microwaved again, like days later.
Ooh, I'm not a leftovers person. So
I
love leftovers.
It is also crazy to think like the reason we know things are bad for you and that can kill you now if it's something poisonous is because
someone's died from
at one point did.
Yeah.
Like how lucky are we at a point where we could be living and not have to worry about like, oh, is this going to kill me right this second.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's interesting is that there's several things, shootings, just all of it. Even when in New York, I am very aware of my surroundings at all times. Like, just if things get funky and I'm down in the subway, I will move. I will get out of a car and get into another. Like, I'm like hyper aware.
You have to pay attention.
Why. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people that are like balls deep in their phones, I'm like, look around.
Yeah.
Look around. See who's around you, right? Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I don't trust anybody. Yeah. I assume everybody is up to some shady shit.
Well, most people are.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. But no, I'm the same way. Looking for exits when you are anywhere that you are, just because you just do not know. I mean, Pride happened recently and we walked into Bradley's and I'm like, I know exactly where the exits are.
Yep.
Yeah. I just also I don't really like going out in big crowds anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's not
my favorite. Because people get, even movies, like movie theaters make me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm just like.
There's also been a lot of mass shootings in the state of Colorado.
Yeah. It doesn't help that I feel like Florida. Any sort of like big thing is like. No. I don't know.
Well,
like,
you got to remember, we grew up. I mean, Columbine happened when I was in eighth grade.
I was like sixth or seventh. Yeah.
So, like, I remember that. We went to the memorial. We went all of it. Like, the next day. So, where you could see the windows blown out of the school and blood running down the building. Like, it's fucked awful. Up.
Yeah.
But then even the Aurora Theater shooting happened in Colorado, too. Yeah. It's craziness. But yeah, no, it's so quick that it's just like done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just like, just be careful. Wear your life jackets. Don't get on. Boats with strangers and
like never get on a boat with a stranger.
No, don't ever get on a boat with a stranger.
There, I
don't get into a car with a stranger.
No, and don't feel bad to say no. I think saying no is such a powerful thing.
Yeah, I'm good. General. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, with no explanation either. No,
no,
yeah,
no,
thank you. Why? Just no.
Yeah, people. That's it. Drugging people on boats. Like,
oh my god.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy out there.
I wouldn't even drug a person not
think
on
about
a boat.
How isolated all of it is. You can literally just get on a boat and you can be miles away from, no one's going to hear you.
Yeah.
See you. Nothing. So
that international dark out. No, ma'am. I can't.
Yeah. Nighttime is a little.
Nighttime.
It's
water.
Like, there is like such a peacefulness to it, but I also agree. A very sketchiness to it.
Yeah.
Like the nights when like the moon's out and you can see peaceful, calm, gorgeous. When it's not, you're like, it is black as shit out here. Like, I don't.
See, that is terrifying to me.
Because you can't see anywhere. You can't see up, down.
Like, could you imagine being alone in the water?
No.
No.
Just no.
Like, I would die, I think, of a heart attack because I would be so scared that I would just be, like, done. Yeah.
Yeah. Nighttime. Wow. What is that movie? Open Water?
Yes.
With the couple that gets, like, left behind?
Yeah. Which is based on a true story.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Which, did they find them or no? I don't think they ever found them. Yeah. Oh, my God. I
think they got...
They got
by them.
Something got them. No, I think they were in shark infested waters. Yeah, which is also terrifying. Mm. If that was the case for sharks, I don't know much about sharks, but in general, do they go after humans in a frenzy? Like,
I don't know.
They make it seem like, okay. I just
don't know.
See, I hate all of this. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I like.
Isn't it like, I can't remember if it was sharks or alligators or crocodiles. I still don't know the difference between alligators and crocodiles, but that thing of like, if you're bleeding at all, they'll come to you immediately.
I feel like
is that sharks?
I don't know. Or is I feel that like that's tale? Like any sort of like carnivorous water creature. But if I had to take my chances with a shark or a gator, give me the shark.
See, I would.
Yeah, I've heard
that.
The gators
are like, no, thank you.
No, they'll just grab on and just start spinning.
Yeah, they'll just spin your ass.
Yeah, we're like, they're like, oh, sharks are curious, you know, but like alligators, I think they just want to kill you.
None of them.
Yeah.
Like, none of it.
I don't, like, I love the water, but I don't like being in the water.
Yeah, I'm not a water person. I don't.
No.
I fucking hate the water.
Just too much stuff. Too many things.
It's like people that are like, you want to go to the beach? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't go lay on a beach. Like, I just am not. And I don't want to swim where people are peeing around me. Like, I'm just I'm not into it. No.
Yeah.
I'm like, take me to the mountains. I'm great there. Yeah. But
yeah. I don't mind the beach, but the beach is a process.
It's like,
let's drive to the beach. Let's find parking at the beach. Let's battle every other asshole out here on the beach. Like,
it's also the bathroom situation is number one for me because
that's
I'm not
why everybody
going,
pees in the water.
Exactly.
And I hate it and I don't.
Yeah.
I can't actually physically pee in water. Like, I cannot do it. I do not know why.
If you were shipwrecked, I bet you would.
I'm sure
you'd figure it out.
I'm sure at some point it would just, like, come
if
out.
If you had diarrhea in the bottom of the dinghy.
You're getting voted off, all right? We're eating you first.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty meaty.
Also, if we were on a boat, I would not eat either one of you.
I would not eat you either.
I'll just let the elements take me.
I'm right. Like, we're just going to
burn. You can do what the you want with me afterwards, but.
I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that either.
No.
I can't. I mean, obviously, I've never been in that position, but I could not fathom.
No.
Doing it.
If somebody like did all the work for me, right? And I'm not talking about eating raw human. If they were like, right, the plane crash situation.
Sure,
if someone was like, hey, I barbecued this, I found it. I'd be like,
all right,
okay.
I'm only.
I don't want to know about it. And I'm like that with most foods. Like, don't tell me what it is, but I'll try it.
You do know that, like, actually, just in the meat grinding and all this kind of shit process, that all of us have probably eaten some sort of human.
Oh my God. What?
Yes. Yeah.
People lose a digit.
People lose fingers and shit. Yeah. I know.
Don't say that to me.
These are the reasons why I tried to be a vegan at one point and then ended up crying in front
of a hot dog
stand.
I'm going to have a mental breakdown.
Crying in front of a hot dog stand.
New York City. Yeah, Brooklyn.
Yep.
We tried it for a month and we're very not good.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably try anything once. Just don't tell me what it is.
I'm not that way. I can't do it. Brandon.
I guess I never want to be in a place where I have to find that out.
Yeah, or like make that decision.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah, no.
And like you can go a very, very long time without eating. Mm-hmm. So like it's just I'm water. Good.
That's
right.
Yeah,
right.
It's the water part.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's just scary.
And blood doesn't sound as good as just water.
Okay, yeah, with my story where they're like, they moistened their...
No, we had we caught this big fish one time. Did I show you the picture of that fish we caught?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, so that fish, they had the heart out, and one of the engineers on the boat, he was like, try a piece. And I did, and it was like so bloody that like I couldn't, like I like gagged. I swallowed it, but I was like, it was the blood for me, and I was like...
Because it tastes like metal.
It was
like
very irony. Yeah. Oh, but it was like also the warmth that like bothered me.
The warmth is...
And the thickness, it was a lot. And I was and he loved it. That was like his thing. Like he was like from an island originally somewhere. Okay. So that was like his thing.
Yeah.
Not mine.
No.
Not mine.
Yeah.
But
Nope.
That's fine.
I am not adventurous. I can barely eat real meat.
No.
All meat's real, but I can barely eat...
Well, you can't even touch raw chicken.
No. God.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I'll do it if I have to. Like when I was in New York by myself.
I know. I'm proud of you.
I grilled some chicken breasts, but I can't, like, oh my God, touching it. And then like knowing that, like there's even times where I'm like, Brandon, did you wash your hands?
Yeah. Now I get weird about raw meat too. Yeah.
I do.
Like rinse it, wash it.
Yeah. Oh God.
What would your last meal in prison be?
That is a really good question. I've never thought of myself in prison, which is probably good. oh God.
Anna, what would yours be?
I don't know. Maybe like all of my favorite foods don't make any sense together. So like I would want like cheese fries with like bacon and whatever, but I would also want like ceviche.
Oh,
so I don't know how to make like,
so you want a tapas spread.
How accommodating do you think they'd be like, I want some cheese fries, but like also like a bowl of ceviche.
Right. Yeah.
And like a really good New York prime.
Yeah. Like something. Steak. Yeah.
Some like barbecue chicken.
Like how much are they willing to actually give
asparagus.
You know,
yeah.
I am not wasting my last meal on fucking asparagus.
I love asparagus.
Like I like asparagus, but it is not last meal vegetable quality.
Can I have a salad?
No. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, the only vegetable that I would eat last meal would be like potatoes in some form.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like a potatoes and onion and like pepper.
I don't know, but like.
Fry form, mashed form.
Yeah. I would want, I would definitely have a whatchamacallit.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Everyone
the
knows
fuck
what those
does
are.
That mean?
Oh my God.
It's a chocolate bar that either. Kevin didn't know about either.
Okay. Anna, do you know what a whatchamacallit is?
No.
Oh it my God. It is a very underrated chocolate bar.
Can you tell? So you'd got to tell us, because I don't think any of us grew up with that at all.
No, and I mean, I don't know if I necessarily grew up with it, but it was in the vending machines at high school, and I would get it, and it's like this like chocolate bar. It's like a wafer with like peanut in it and stuff. Mm. It's
delicious.
I don't even know how to explain it
It's like
I mean,
they're so good.
Mixed. It's like a Kit Kat bar mixed with like crunch, mixed with like
a little bit of a Reese's flavor.
Yeah, I don't. It's so
they're so good.
Good. But I would have that as an option.
It's an option
as a dessert, and then I would have ice cream. I would definitely have ice cream. I think in general,
yeah,
savory and sweet. But I would probably
maybe
order.
A pasta
I'd be like, can you get me Red Farm? The restaurant's located on the Upper West Side.
Yeah, right away, sir. Well, hold on. We'll go ahead and send that one of our...
Can you please send that to me? Thank
our
you.
Our jail attendants out to go get that for you right away.
That would be my last meal, I think. Yeah, but it's a really good question. Bran, what would yours?
I don't know. I said definitely ice cream and maybe like some sort of like pasta dish.
Never-ending pasta
right?
dish
Fucking
from
Italian.
Olive Garden.
Yeah, right?
Be like, no. When I'm done, then you can take me.
Exactly.
The breadsticks.
He found the loophole. Yeah. This man's been eating pasta for 6 days straight. There's vomit everywhere, but he won't stop.
No, he won't do it. Yeah. Jesus. That's interesting. Okay, Hillary, what about you? What would be yours?
Oh. I don't know. I think I might have to have like a gigantic bowl of like pho or something. That's like my go-to.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
feel ramen, good meal. I'm about to die. Might as well just give me a trough. Yeah. I'll marinate in it. Eat all of it. I don't know.
I would maybe do, you know, okay.
You would do a chicken sandwich from Chili's.
Not
or just a chicken meal. Sandwich.
Depends on where.
Or a pizza.
Oh my God. I love pizza so yeah, much. Yeah.
Pizza.
Quiznos. Chris and I would probably have our old sandwiches.
The steak with the sauce.
What's it? I used to get something, and that sauce, that red sauce.
It's the black Angus mushroom steak sandwich or whatever.
I think we always ordered the same shit.
We did, because we have amazing palates. Oh, God, yeah. That sauce, though, was like kind of spicy with like the onion and the mushroom on it. God. Oh, my God.
And there's no Quiznos. Did you have Quiznos in Lubbock?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I don't remember if I think I had it like once. Oh it was God, around Quiznos. For like a year.
The OG Quiznos is in downtown Denver.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, on the 13th.
Yeah, that would probably be my more realistic last meal would be just the fattest sandwich with like an entire bag of chips.
Yeah.
My mouth is watering
like a family pack.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, yeah, like it's like Costco size bag of chips. Yeah. So they're like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter.
You know what I probably
calories
have?
Don't count in prison.
No, or when you're dying.
Not on death row.
Yeah. Nope. Guess not. But I would have a bag of salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, yes, bitch.
And milk chocolate bar at the same time.
Okay.
It's such a weird.
Like, I get it.
No, I used to like eat that at work.
Salty, vinegary, sweet.
I do like this. Oh, my God. Yum, 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 yum. Yum. I love it a lot. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Well, this was a fun episode.
This was. Thank you for having
Hillary,
me.
Hillary, I'm so glad you joined us. Yes, and Anna. Miss you so much.
I know. I miss you guys too.
We get to see you in a couple of weeks, which is really exciting.
Yay.
And we'll be back in New York City for the summer. So
we will be.
Please remember to rate and review the podcast and subscribe and follow us. And that's all.
And that's all.